Ho, 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 dies ist die letzte Folge vor Weihnachten und falls du es noch nicht getan hast, vor 2 Wochen habe ich eine Folge veröffentlicht, in der es um meinen persönlichen Jahresrückblick ging und die Reflexion und zu schauen, was hat das mit mir gemacht und was bedeutet das für mich auch für 2024. In dieser Folge habe ich dir einen Speaker aus Amerika mitgebracht, den ich im Rahmen der GSA-Convention interviewt habe. Ich habe ja von allen die Genehmigung eingeholt, dass ich das auch auf meinem Podcast-Kanal veröffentlichen darf. Es ist Justin Jones Fosu und ich habe selten einen Menschen getroffen, der so viel Herz hat und so viel Herzlichkeit. Ich war bei seinem Workshop total begeistert, berührt, ich hatte Tränen in den Augen am Ende und konnte so viel für mich mitnehmen und habe mich sehr geehrt gefühlt und war total happy, dass er sich die Zeit genommen hat und im Rahmen der GSA Convention bzw. im Vorfeld mir noch ein Interview zu geben. Wir werden über das Thema Herzen sprechen, wir werden über das Thema Sales sprechen und was das damit zu tun hat, in Beziehung miteinander zu gehen. Und nicht wundern, die Folge ist wieder auf Englisch, denn Justin ist Amerikaner. In diesem Sinne, viel Spaß bei der neuen Folge. Komm gut durch die Weihnachtszeit und ich freue mich, wenn du auch im nächsten Jahr wieder einschaltest. Bitte nicht wundern, vorgeschaltet vor dem Podcast ist das GSA-Intro für die Convention. Das hat der liebe Dirk Hildebrand mit seinem Team dort davor gesetzt. In diesem Sinne, viel Spaß bei der neuen Folge. How to impress, souverän und selbstbewusst auftreten im Leben und auf deiner Businessbühne. Hier bekommst du Tipps und Tricks rund um das Thema Wirkung, Auftritt, Stimme, Kamera und die Businessbühne. Ich bin Sonja Gründemann, die Expertin für deinen erfolgreichen Auftritt und berichte dir aus der Praxis für die Praxis. Immer nach meinem Motto, perfekt muss nicht sein, echt ist schöner.
Die GSA Convention.
Rock the Stage. Der Vielfalt eine Bühne geben.
The way we serve our clients, the way we serve our customers, it should start from the heart. It's a heart, head, hand. And we're always asking a question, how are we first connecting with our own hearts to the hearts of people before we connect to the head? And that for me is one of the things that really resonates the most.
German Speakers Association. Interviews, Wissen, Hacks. Für Speaker, Trainer, für alle, die es wissen wollen. GSA.
Hello, everybody. I have the pleasure to have a great guest in this podcast. I met him at the NSA convention, and sometimes it's like that. You meet people and you go to a workshop or you listen to a speech, and suddenly at the end of it, you are deeply touched. And this happened to me when I was in the workshop of this person, because he was saying so many words that I resonated with. And when I started thinking about people from the US asking to come in my podcast, he was one of the first persons that I was thinking about, because his message is so meaningful. And this is also the name of his company. And you can't see him, but he's really punching in the air, because this is such a great topic to talk about. Welcome. Give a big virtual hand in your minds for the great Justin Jones Fosu. Hello.
Woo! I'm so pumped. Hey. I should say Donka. I appreciate it. I'm very grateful.
Bitte, you're very welcome. And really, just to let the people know, it wasn't so easy because it was very short time after the NSA convention and you are so busy. And you said, can we talk in November? And I said, could we please do it in September? Because then it's the convention. And you said, all right, we'll find a slot. And I'm so thankful for that.
No, I'm thankful. Thank you for finding the time. I know I'm finalizing my next book, and so my publisher has been pushing me, and so the deadline is coming up. So I'm like, but this was so important, and your energy and love for what you're doing made me decide to figure out a way to make it work. So thank you so much for your hard work and your efforts.
Oh, thank you very much. Let's just dive deep in, so to say. I already said when I welcomed you, you really touched my heart. And I have to admit, at the end of your workshop, I was sitting in the front row. I don't know if you remember that. I was sitting in the front row and I came to you because I started to cry. You really touched me with all your messages. And you already started your workshop with one sentence that really you showed a film of your daughter and you dancing. That was really emotional. And then you said one sentence that was, a hug changes the energy. What is this about?
Yeah. So for me, part of the way that we lean into it is that when we lead from the heart, right, that it impacts what we do and how we do it. Is that always the way we serve our clients, the way we serve our customers, it should start from the heart. It's a heart, head, hand. And we're always asking a question, how are we first connecting with our own hearts to the hearts of people before we connect to the head? And that for me is one of the things that really resonates the most, is really impacting the heart. And that begins the value statement. So, but the outside of that is, you know, one of the things we talk about with the drum, right? So I'm originally from Ghana. And, you know, the drum beat is a really big thing. And so sometimes we're just with our clients, we're hitting the drum once and like, all right, bye. And like, you would hate to go to that type of performance, right? You want to connect with them in a meaningful way. And so in order to bop, bada bop, bop, bada bop, 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 bada bop, bop, right? It's, you want to have a consistent flow that adds value. And so the question we're always asking is, are we adding value to people around us? I'm not just talking about our clients, to our home, to our community. And so that for me is the kind of the impetus, the catalyst for what we do.
This is so great, because I'm also a person that really needs the heart connection with people to speak to them and to connect with them. And I love working with people with whom I know I'm also very connected. And you also said, I will come back to the music part because this is very important. We have the theme Rock the Stage. So yeah, because I'm also coming from the music part. So I loved it. I watched your trailer, your speaking trailer, and I was like, it's doing always some music. And you also do comparisons to the music, but I come back to this a little bit later. You also say, and you already included it a little bit in what you just said, that personality is what counts. That was also a message that you brought with you to the convention. And I was so touched by this, because you said there's no pattern that everyone can use. You have to put in your personality. And how did you experience that? And how can you do that?
Yeah. No, I think the thing that makes us unique, the fingerprint of our speaking, our coaching, our training, what we do to serve our clients, is us, right? Mm-hmm. It's uniquely us. And oftentimes, and I got caught into this earlier on, because I've been doing this for about 16 years now, and I got caught into trying to emulate what I saw, other people that I saw on stage and wanting to be like them. And I had to ask, who is Justin? Who is Justin Jones Fosu? And what unique contribution of my own personality can I bring to that? And so the first question I ask people is who are you when you're with your closest friends and family? That's how you start discovering how your personality shines forth on stage and other places. Like, if you talk like this in your living room or your apartment or just at a coffee shop with your friends, then why are you talking like this on stage? Because it's not genuine to who you are. Right. And I know we think about it's a performance and all this kind of stuff, but like, I'm this way, I'm vibrant and high energy and all this kind of stuff on stage, but I'm also the same way in my living room. And this is the thing I say, I've seen some people sit on a stool for 60 minutes and it'd be one of the most captivating presentations I've ever seen because it was who they are. And that's the thing. That's the essence of our personality shining forth.
And this is so great that you're saying this, and because you just used the example of the stool. I had a person when I did a coaching with someone, I'm working also for the GSA Academy. And shortly before she went on stage, she came to me and said, Sonia, someone said to me, I shouldn't move on stage. I should stand where I go. And I said, why?
And she said, yeah, because someone said that to me. And I said, you know what? You're not the person that is standing on one point. And she said, yeah, right. And I said, why do you want to do this then? And she said, okay, I don't have to do that. No, you don't have. There are people that can do that. But you're not the right person for that. You should take care of some points, etc. But this is so meaningful. There we are. What you're saying, and this is so important.
I love what you said, Sonia, because that's the one of the things that trips to a lot of people in our work is we get great advice because it worked for that person.
Yeah, right.
And the challenge is accepting what works and identifying, filtering it through who you are. So I'm not the person that's going to sit still. I am a talker and I'm a pacer, right? I think creatively as I pace and I look and engage. It's who I am. Like, if we weren't on Zoom right now, right, like, I'd be walking outside, right, pacing, right, and talking, because that's who I am, right? And so that's the thing of when people identify that aspect of who they are, it shines forth on stage, and people resonate with that because it's authentic and it's from the heart, right? It's not just information download. It's a transformation of who you are that comes across to the audience and stage.
But how did you do that? I mean, you said, I want to be the person that is also the person in the living room and being on stage. Yeah. And I know how hard it is to transform that from the living room on stage. What did you do that you could do that on stage, that you can transform that also on stage?
Yeah. So I had to first do some assessment work on my own self and said, who is Justin? Right. Mm-hmm. And when I started asking who is Justin, I started asking and, you know, not only for myself, but other people, like my closest friends and family. And they were telling me, you're vibrant, you're high energy, you're jumping up and down, right? You love music, you're going to dance in a second, right? Soon as something comes on, right? And, you know, that became, I was like, okay, am I showing this on stage, right? Mm-hmm. So for someone else, they may be very introspective. They may ask really powerful questions. They may be a storyteller. They may be a jokester. Whatever that may be, it's like you have to first sit down and assess for yourself who you are. And second, ask 3 to 5 of your closest friends and family members, how would you describe me in our most intimate or close sessions, or when we're just having a casual conversation? Who am I in that space? And then you have to ask the question, is that who I am on stage? Because if you're not, then you are actually, we might be robbing our audiences of authenticity that it transcends the information. Over and over again, people tell me more when I hear from them 6 months later or a year later or 5 years later, how I made them feel and then connecting to the point of the message rather than, I remember when you said this specific point, right? It's like the feeling connected to the point. So that's one of the ways I had to first sit down and do a self-assessment and then kind of do a 360 of asking people around me. So I would encourage other people to do the same.
Well, that's so great because as you recognized, maybe I started also describing the feeling that I had when I was in your workshop and then I came to the point. So it worked with me. So very good. Very good. Yeah. And you said also, it's not about what you've done, but what you decide. And this fits to what you just said, right? Because you decided to be yourself on stage.
Correct. Yeah. I also tell the story at the airport security story, right? Of, you know, I remember I used to hate, I used to speak 50, 60 times a year, and I would hate going through airport security. And, you know, there's one moment where I saw this lady who was, you know, smiling and doing stuff you should never do in airport security lines, right? It's just talking to the agents. And I'm like, what is this, right? We don't do this here. But it hit me so much that as I began watching and observing her, something began to happen. The ripple effect around her began to resonate. People begin to smile. And I was like, I want to be like that. And so I would then show up and I became like the dancing passenger. So I would don't judge me. It got me a couple extra searches. But the point of the story is that I made a decision to how I would choose to show up in the airport security line. And that is the same power all of us possess, is we can choose how we show up. Right now, the line didn't get better, just to be completely honest, but how my experience changed because of how I chose to show up. And so I want to encourage every single one of us to, that we have the power of choice, mm-hmm. that we can choose how we engage. We can choose how we show up. We can choose, do we need to wear, you know, and yes, there are some limitations. There's some barriers. I'm not the speaker that says, oh, throw out all the barriers. Just sometimes we have to go and they want you in a suit. I get that, right? I have my own story mm-hmm. about that. Mm-hmm. But we still have to ask the question, how can I show up in a unique way that's me, not mm-hmm. being like everyone else? So it's our choice, Sonia.
Yeah, and you also made the choice and you are using music, what I love yeah. on stage, yeah. because you encourage people to do music on stage when you hold your yeah. speeches. Why yeah. are you doing this?
Yeah, so again, another self-assessment. And when I asked, I forgot which conference I went to, this is one of the speaking conferences, and I just started going around asking people what I talk about. Mm-hmm. And people had a hard time initially, right? Mm-hmm. They're like, well, you talk about this, talk about that. And so I felt I was just a run-of-the-mill, every person speaker, right? Like, mm-hmm. what would separate me from the average? I had some level of speaking success, whatever. And I started saying, who is Justin? I am a Ghanaian-American, right? And part of the tradition in Ghana is the djembe drum. And so I was like, mm-hmm. how does the djembe drum formulate to the stage, right? And it's like, yeah. oh, well, it's a great metaphor for how we bring meaning. The drum stays the same, but what the meaning, the beat that we put into it shapes what we hear and everyone else around us. And so I was like, oh, this is a great metaphor. So I bring people on stage to drum to illustrate that point. Other people yeah. do different things, right? So music doesn't have to be everyone's thing. But for me, I'm a lover of music. I'm a lover of dance. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be hard pressed to not see me dance or sing or something on stage or play something music because it's authentic to who I am. And so finding those connection points that people can sense, oh my gosh, this is really this person. Mm-hmm. That's the essence of what I'm after and what I hope everyone would find for them. Not that they're a copycat of information mm-hmm. Downloading or sharing, mm-hmm. but that their true soul shines forth on stage.
Yeah, and you also say a very good sentence on stage. That's what I found in your trailer. What are you doing if you don't like the music? You yeah. turn it off.
Yeah. Yes.
And this is such a great metaphor for everything, for your life, for yeah. a speech that you're watching, for a TV channel, yeah. and for music, because I had immediately the picture of me in my mind when I listen to Spotify and my playlist is up yeah. and the next music is coming that I don't want to hear. Yeah. I skip it. I change
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So that was immediately in my mind. And I thought, oh my God, he's such a good storyteller. He's implementing pictures. So.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And you said it so eloquently because it's how do we connect? This is the whole mantra of our work, right? And work mm-hmm. meaningful. Every book I write, every speech I give, every talk I give, I want to connect to people in what we call everyday life. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. There are these big moments in our lives that shape us at that big moment, that big speech, but in our everyday lives, where are we? And so what I'm asking the question, I want to connect with you and what you do in your everyday life. Right. Yeah. And so if you're every day listening to a playlist or you're listening yeah. to music or you're talking to your kids or to your partner or messing with your dog or drinking a great German Riesling, right? Whatever that may be, I want that point. And that's what resonates with me.
Yeah, that's so great. And coming not away from the emotions, because this is really the main thing also in my world that we need. You also had a tip for us at the workshop that was called 10 by 10 by 10 method. And I loved it. Could you just explain to the GSA listeners and everyone else who's listening to this podcast, what is it all about?
So before I get to the 10 by 10 by 10, I think it's helpful to set the foundation of why the 10 by 10 by 10 is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's one of the things I call the three P's. And I get asked a lot of times, hey, I want to go into speaking or even entrepreneurship in general. And I'm like, are there three P's to this? Just three things, right? So one is passion. are you passionate about this, right? Does when you think about it, does it excite you, right? Or do you like, oh, I got to do this, right? Mm-hmm. So first is passion. The second is possibility. Is there possibility? Yes, I'm really glad you're passionate about socks, red socks on red birds. But if there's not people who are willing to pay you to talk about red socks and red birds, then we might be in a wrong space. And the last thing is actually the only thing that we ourselves have control over can grow. And that's proficiency. Mm-hmm. Is where are we proficient? And that for me came in what we call the 10 by 10 by 10 model, or our, what we call the speaker lit review. And that simply is this. You're asking the question, not just in undergrad, so for those who have gone through the collegiate experience or had been exposed to it, in an undergraduate, you're taught to memorize information or mm-hmm. knowledge, right? And in a master's level, you're taught to master said knowledge and information. But PhDs are taught to create new knowledge or information. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the 10 by 10 method is 10 by 10 by 10 method is a way to do that. So you're asking, all right, what are 10 books on this topic, the topic that you're passionate about or focused on? What are the top 10 experts who are sharing or speaking on this? And then what are the top 10 peer-reviewed journal articles that speak to your specific issue? So for me, one of the things I'm writing a book right now is how to have difficult conversations in the divided world. It's called I Respectfully Disagree. And so mm-hmm. I went through the same method about mm-hmm. like, all right, what are the top 10 books on respectful disagreement or conflict resolution? Or yeah, who are the top 10 people speaking on it? Ian Leslie and other people, right? And what are the top 10 peer-reviewed journal articles? And I learned a lot about conversational receptiveness because we're asking really two questions. One is, what is a consistent thing that most people are talking about, right? Mm-hmm. That it needs to be included, right? Because it's just like, okay, as an example, emotional intelligence, self-awareness is really big, right? Mm-hmm. So, self-awareness. But the real question we're asking is what people are not talking about or what's not being said well. Mm-hmm. Because that's where we enter into this PhD realm of creating new knowledge, new information in ways that people are seeking after us for our curriculum, our methodology, our process that can be able to be transformative and add value to our clients. And so that's the 10 by 10 by 10 model. Now, some people say, Justin, that sounds like a lot. Okay, we'll do a 5 by 5 by 5, right? It's yeah. not the actual number. The question is, how are we diving deeper into the content and information mm-hmm. to make the value we provide to our clients more helpful?
And was it, thank you for that. Thank you for explaining that. And was this also a kind of key to your success to combine the emotions with this method?
Oh, yes, 100%, right? It's, I always had the emotions, right? That was always mm-hmm. going to be the heartbeat of who Justin is. I just had to tap into what that looked like authentically. Right. Mm-hmm. And but then the 10 by 10 by 10 model, like, you know, because I have my MBA, a strategy is my number one strength finder. I started asking, what are ways to make the work I do simple? So when I do a book, when I do a new keynote, I do this method. Now, I have to be transparent. The last 10 normally is not 10. All right. So what I mean by that is it's normally like 100. Right. Because like yeah. I love research.
Oh, wow.
And I try to find, I go through, like, I read the abstracts and read the conclusions of these peer-reviewed journal articles to really identify, is this research I want to dive in deeper? And when I find a good article, I then find the top 10 articles and I dig deeper. Now, a great place to start for stuff like that is Google Scholar, Harvard Business Review. You know, a lot of those places you can dive into typing in the research and you start just perusing through the articles to find out what are the articles that start pointing to these consistent seminal articles. And so the conversation, like conversational receptiveness where I am right now, that's been a seminal article about how, what's the recipe for having conversations that people want to have with you, even when they're difficult. Mm-hmm.
And how do you stop yourself from doing these researches? If one article goes to the other and at yes. some point you have to decide, okay, I stop it right now. but I think yes. this is also, if you are really loving it, this is also a hard part, yes. isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's extremely hard to stop. And that's why I tell people, give yourself time limit, right? At the end of the day, identify and say, okay, I'm going to do research for 3 months. Right. Oh, I'm going to dive into these 10 things. Mm-hmm. I'm going to dive into these. Right. And I'm really going to build up a foundation of what are the experts saying? Let me watch their TED Talks. Let me watch their YouTube. Let me look at their website. Let me read these books. Let me engage in these articles. Now, you have, again, we all have lives, personal lives, right, and other things. And so this shouldn't overtake your life. We also give speeches by chance or trainings or consultants or coaches, right? And so for me, it's normally 3 months because I can do that realistically. And that's my R&D. That's my mm-hmm. research and development time, mm-hmm. right? That's mm-hmm. I used to work in pharmaceuticals, and they always would say, like, our company will be extinct if we don't have a pipeline. Mm-hmm. And so I'm constantly mm-hmm. doing about 15 to 20% of my time in my pipeline. Wow. So that this next thing in 3 or 4 years, something else is coming forward when it feels like, wait a minute, I thought we just focused on this. So that's why I think giving yourself a time limit that makes sense for you mm-hmm. will be really, really helpful. If not, just give yourself a limit in terms of how many articles you're going to look at. So mm-hmm. if it's going to be, you know, if you're trying to find the top 10, you might say, okay, I'm only going to look through 50 articles. And I'm going to read the abstracts. I'm going to read the conclusions. I'm not going to read the whole article because that would be time consuming. And then the ones that really capture my attention, I'm going to set aside, and those are going to be my top 10. But limits in terms of either time and or the number can be very, very helpful.
Yeah. And you also said one point that in the workshop that you, when you're in the research time, you put on the Google alert if there's something yes. new that is coming out. That was also a nice yes. hint, I thought, because I've never thought about that. But I thought, yeah, that's such a small thing, but it's so logically when you're doing researches, or not only when you're doing researches, but also when you're an expert yeah. In one area, you can always yes. be on time with news about that.
100%. All right, and that's one of the great things. You know, because I meet sometimes a lot of speakers who've been speaking for a long time. And sometimes we can get so used to our content. Mm-hmm. We get familiar with delivering mm-hmm. it because it's worked. Mm-hmm. But I've always had, I've appreciated the whole Steve Jobs and Apple. He was like, the best time to come out with something new is when the thing is currently working, right? Yeah. It's the same thing we talk about when we try to find jobs. Like, the worst time to try to find a job is when you don't have one. It's when you yeah, already right. have one. And
that's so right.
what the Google alert does
yeah.
is that it allows us to consistently add touches, things. Oh, what is meaningful work, right? As part of the work we do, relate to quiet quitting, right? Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. if I'm putting in meaningful work, or if I'm putting in these terms or terminology or these subjects and or people who are the experts on it, because I want to know if, you know, Ian Leslie or Brené Brown comes up with a new article or a new video mm-hmm. on X. And mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, that now alert me. Now, every alert I have, I don't always go to it. It doesn't always draw me in, but there's some that I get. I'm like, oh, this is what I need to save for my research days. Right. So that's why the Google alert can be helpful.
Yeah, that's so great. And you also, what I was really impressed about was, I read once again the description of your workshop in the NSA brochure. So yeah. what I didn't realize was that your workshop was, I have to read it, selling mm-hmm. beyond the single engagement. And I wasn't yeah. aware after your workshop that it was a sales workshop, but so what is for me really an impressional thing, because I didn't think about sales. I was just touched by you, but I remembered yeah. then, and I looked into my notes. You said the aftercare plan with your clients is so important. Yeah. So this is the sales stuff, but it didn't feel like a real sales hour that we spend with you. But yeah. I would like to talk about that with you as well, because it's about emotion. It's about content that we were just talking about, but it isn't all done when you've just done your speech or whatever. Yeah. You are talking about an aftercare sales plan. What does this mean?
Yes. Yeah. I'm glad you asked that question, because that's one of the things that we didn't come to a conclusion that was important until later on in the business. And before, it was really just about the single event. I was just happy to be on stage. I'm like, yeah, I'm on stage.
Yeah, right.
I'm so happy. But then I was like, I made a decision a while ago. And it was, I asked myself, I said, Justin, do you want to be the speaker who's out there speaking all the time? And it for me, the answer was no, right? Again, it's every different reasons for different people. I said, I want to have more value with less clients.
Mm-hmm.
And with wanting to develop more value with less clients, I want to have more engagements with less clients. I didn't want to have one-on-one. And so I said, how do I develop this? And so part of that was like aftercare. Now we think about, you know, doctors and other things that we go to, they normally say, okay, once we've gone to see them, they say, okay, I want you to do this. I want you to do this, right? You need to follow up mm-hmm. here in 3 months. We're going to do a checkup. We're going to do this. And that's the same thing we can do with our clients. But I love what you said, that you didn't come across like a sales piece. Because this is, we're not about sales, right? A lot of times we think mm-hmm. about sales and how do we get the most from our clients?
Exactly.
The question is, how do we give the most to our clients?
Yeah.
Because those are the things that allow our clients to say, oh my gosh, Sonia, she was so amazing. Like, she added more value to our experience. She helped us. And so what is the aftercare plan? Simply this. The aftercare plan is really our continual treatment to help add value to our clients.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many different ways to do it. There's free parts of the aftercare plan, mm-hmm. and there's things that are paid. But mm-hmm. again, we have to ask, what is the value? So there's some examples of aftercare plans. So I'm going to give you a few, right? It's not going to be exhaustive. Mm-hmm. But one are creating tip videos, right? So one mm-hmm. of the things that we did is we created these two, we were inspired by Clint Pulver, and these 2-minute tip videos. And we did these 2-minute tip videos that can make sure that the messages last longer than me on stage.
Mm-hmm.
So when they're in their meeting, and we give them to them in 3 different variations, they can ask for whatever variation they want, but give them 12, 26, and 52, right? And so these are really, I'm in real life, everyday life, and I'm like, okay, cool. Here's a 2-minute tip video to talk about how do you bring meaning to your work, right? So I'm talking mm-hmm. about one aspect of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do it monthly. Guess what they send out monthly? And it's a great, great thing. Another thing could be like a TEDx or your own TEDx version, and you do a discussion guide with it,
mm-hmm.
right? So it allows mm-hmm. the conversation to go in deeper. It could be courses that you put together. And one thing that's been really big for us, and I'm be vulnerable in this moment of around modularizing our content.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the, Chris West, a video narrative, challenged me once when I was doing a video about my diversity stuff and inclusion work. And he was like, you know, he's like, Justin, you're doing too much. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, just like, you're talking about way too many topics. It's not helping people to learn. You're just throwing information at people.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I want you to separate that into 4 presentations.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started thinking through it, I'll be honest, I was concerned because like, well, why would they want to talk to me 4 times? Right?
Mm-hmm.
It, like,
mm-hmm.
I'm just grateful I'm on stage once. And he was like, just try it, right? Just try it for the next 3 to 6 months. Just offer it when you talk to your clients. And so I started saying, hey, they were saying, hey, we want to book you for a presentation. I was like, awesome. I'm excited. We have really 4 sessions that we walk through in this topic. One, we can do either all 4, right? And build them out. Or let's walk together and figure out which one makes the most sense for you. Now, as we're walking through it, if it's truly value added because you've done your 10 by 10 by 10 model and you're adding great content, oftentimes what they say is like, oh my gosh, it's so hard to choose. So even if they don't pick all 4, they may say, hey, let's book this one now. And in like 3 months, let's book this other one because this is something that'd be truly beneficial for our clients. So those are examples of the aftercare plan where you're adding more value. And one great free thing you can do, what if you just created a 5-minute follow-up video, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to charge them mm-hmm. anything for that. That's not built into your package. But that could be just something that says, hey, send this out to your employees or your event attendees right after just to add value to make what you share last longer than you.
Wow. This is so amazing. And this is really, I'm so grateful that you brought this up again because this doesn't feel like pushing sales. You know, this is just really after caring for your clients and also staying in mind. I mean, if they don't want to book you again, but you can stay there and maybe they tell other people about it. Sometimes they can't afford you another time, but maybe they have other people that they can tell it. Thank you very much. I am so happy that you were here and you took the time, Justin. We could talk about hours, I think, but I know that you have to hurry up and go ahead with your book and your family, as I can tell, I hope so. So I am so grateful that you could come here and that you took the time so shortly before the GSA convention. And is there something that you want to tell the people right now? Yeah. A last sentence, yeah. A last tip.
Yes.
To give them.
Yes. The last tip I'd say, and this is really practical word choice. You have to find it in your own word, your own language. But we're really after, how do we continue the conversation? Mm-hmm. That's what it is. So even when I talk to my clients, I share with them, here are three ways that we can continue the conversation that adds more value to X, right? So it's always about continuing the conversation. And the last thing, we're all in this to make money, add value, all this great stuff, is if they don't bring you back, one of the greatest things that we can do is offer this one line. I realize that you bring in other speakers. Let me know if I can help you find another speaker.
Yeah.
That, my friends, is how we continue enlarging the pie and making a difference globally in our speaking, our consulting, our coaching, and our training. It's not only it's about us, but we're thinking bigger than ourselves.
Oh my God. I know why I was so touched when I was in your workshop. Thank you very much from the bottom of my heart, really. It was such a great pleasure talking to you, Justin. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. You're awesome. Thank you for your hard work. You're doing Thank some you. Meaningful work. And I'm very thankful for it.
Thank you very much. And for everybody who listened outside, just follow Justin on LinkedIn and wherever he is. It's great. Go to his webpage. It's really amazing to see his trailer. And if you have the possibility to see him one time, really, he's such a heartwarm person. I don't know. Is this the right word? Yeah, I think so.
Yes, heartwarming. I like that.
Thank you very much. And for you all, if you have the impression, how can I do that? Go step by step and always think about what you're doing. It doesn't need to be perfect, but it needs to be real.
Ich hoffe, die heutige Folge hat dir gefallen und du schaltest auch beim nächsten Mal wieder ein, wenn es heißt How to Impress, souverän und selbstbewusst auftreten. Hinterlass mir gern eine Bewertung bei iTunes oder auch eine Rezension bei Google und vernetze dich mit mir auf den sozialen Medien, vor allen Dingen bei LinkedIn und Instagram bin ich aktiv. Über Weiterempfehlungen freue ich mich natürlich auch sehr und wenn du noch mehr über mich erfahren möchtest, dann abonniere einfach meinen Newsletter. Bis zum nächsten Mal. Tschüss.